Football is officially back, and we've got you covered right here on the Ringer NFL feed. I'm Sheil Kapadia, and every Tuesday and Friday, Ben Solak and I will be bringing you Extra Point Taken.
Nora Princiati here to tell you that Stephen Ruiz and I will be coming to you every Monday and Thursday. Our Monday show will recap everything from Sunday's games. Thursday show will encompass any news during the week with an eye towards the next slate of games.
Subscribe to the Ringer NFL show on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Be sure to follow the Ringer NFL on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter at Ringer NFL.
It's New York, New York, presented by FanDuel. Take a shot at betting the NBA with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Right now, you can check out the new and improved Parlay Hub, filter by odds, sport, and bet type to easily find the most popular parlays and same game parlays all on one page. Plus, start betting on the Explore page and the Pulse and bet live same game parlays for every NBA game. So download the app today and bet with FanDuel, official partner of the NBA. The Ringer is committed to responsible gaming. Please visit rg-help.com to learn more about the resources and helplines available and listen to the end of the episode for additional details. Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rg-help.com.
This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real-life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower What's Next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client.
Alrighty, let's roll, baby. Welcome in. It is a day after Christmas, Tuesday special of New York, New York, with yours truly, J.J. Johnson-Stremski. Keeping you company right here on the Ringer Podcast Network. I hope everybody had a very happy and blessed and safe Christmas holiday. I know I've been running around like a madman the last 48 hours, and there's certainly a lot to discuss and a lot to dive into with all of the sports that have been thrown our way over Christmas Eve and then, of course, on Christmas Day. I don't know where to begin, so I'll start here. Recency bias. I think we can now stop, at least to some degree, with the insanity that has been DeVito mania for the last few weeks for the New York Giants. And Brian Daboll basically decided, halftime, losing 20-3 to the Philadelphia Eagles, I need a spark. And I know some people are going to make the argument, hey, why are you going to a veteran quarterback? You're 5-9. Your season is over. You kind of owe it to the guys within that locker room. And I also think Daboll was thinking about, hey, Philadelphia has owned us. Philadelphia has embarrassed and has humiliated us as a franchise. Last year, I'm the coach for the first time. They go and beat me 3 consecutive games. I got to try something to get our team back into the ballgame. So he made the switch to go from Tommy DeVito to Tyrod Taylor. Do I think it means anything for the final 2 games of the year? Not necessarily. They could easily go back to DeVito this week against the Rams. I'm not going to be surprised in the least bit if they go back to DeVito against the Rams. But, you know, there are actually folks in the media. There are actually people that I would talk to on the street saying, oh, they might have something with this DeVito. They might. The only thing they have in DeVito is a backup quarterback. Can we just call it like it is? Because people want to get enamored with the Jersey Italian storyline. And it was fun. And it was a nice respite for the last couple of weeks. It was nothing more than that. The idea that people even wanted to make it bigger than Linsanity, I thought was insulting to Linsanity, quite frankly. So, Daboll makes the move. Now, was that the reason the Giants got back into this ballgame against Philly? No, not in the least. The Eagles, to quote my buddy Joe House, who I do East Coast Bias and Ring of Wise Guys with, the Eagles play with their food in this game. I mean, they had a kick return that basically they ran into their own guy. They fumble it, and boom, the Giants get set up on their 10-yard line. They end up scoring a touchdown. Then you have Jalen Hurts up 10 points, about to go for the kill shot on the Giants, throwing a pick six, going the other way, and Adoree Jackson's taking it to the house. That's how you allow the Giants to go and stay in the game. And Tyrod Taylor made some plays. He hit Darius Slayton on a deep touchdown. It was a beautiful thing to see. You've seen with Taylor compared to the other two quarterbacks, especially Jones this year, that even if there are issues and there are protection problems on the offensive line, Taylor's going to take shots down the field. Whether they're good shots or bad shots is besides the point. He is going to take shots down the field, and he hits Slayton for the touchdown. And then the final possession of the game, this is where, as a Giant fan, you're probably going to be ticked off. They missed a couple of blatant defensive penalties. There's no getting around that. They missed one on Wendell Robinson. You want to tell me they missed one in the end zone? They did. But not to be, the Giants go and lose the game by 8. The Eagle domination over the Giants continues. And, you know, in all seriousness, for a Giant team that might be thinking long and hard about selecting the next quarterback in April's NFL draft, in many ways, this might be the best case scenario for them. And if you look at their final two games, the Eagles are going to need the game against the Giants in week 18. You're going to play a Rams team on Sunday that desperately needs the game in order to make the postseason. And Matthew Stafford is playing great. Sean McVay is doing arguably maybe the best coaching job of his young NFL career. And the Rams are basically one win away with tiebreakers really working to their advantage. They're going to get this game against the Giants. They're going to be sitting pretty for the postseason. So logic would dictate the Giants are probably going to lose their next two games, and they're going to go and finish up the season 5-12. Hey, that sets you up, I think, pretty nicely. Maybe not for the number one or the number two pick, but if Daniels is your guy, or maybe it's Penix, or whoever it might be as the draft process plays out, you have enhanced your chances of going and getting your next quarterback. And that kind of gives me a segue into where I'm going to go with the Jets, because I was asked yesterday, you know, I did the Zoom hit after Christmas dinner for SNY. And I hate doing the Zoom SNY television hits compared to being in studio, but, you know, it's the holidays, Christmas Day, New Year's Day. I don't mind doing it from home. I don't want to be going in those days. So it's like, yeah, this is fantastic. But I was asked by Jason Spells, as far as who needs the higher draft pick more, the Jets or the Giants, with where we stand today, it's an easy call for me. The Giants need to pick more because they're going to take a quarterback. The Jets, in announcing what they did on Sunday, which is to the surprise of no one, we've been telling you this for weeks, that it's going to be deja vu, that it's going to be a full-fledged reset for Douglas, for Saleh, for Hackett, for Rodgers, the whole cast of characters, because you're bringing back a 40-something-year-old quarterback. You're not going to go and take a bunch of moving parts and change them, unless, of course, that quarterback says, hey, guess what? I don't want so-and-so making decisions. I don't want Robert Saleh being the head coach, or Hackett, who's his buddy, and he clearly wasn't going to say this. I don't want him being the offensive coordinator. Rodgers wants everything to be exactly the same, except for a couple of pieces on personnel, and then he'll see if it's going to be different this time around. But Jets are not going to be taking a quarterback with that first pick. They're not. Because they're going to look at it and say, hey, we need a number two receiver. We need help desperately on the offensive line. They're going to take an offensive player. I would be stunned if we are not sitting here in late April and the Jets are not taking an offensive player. The Giants, on the other hand, are in a situation where the quarterback is very much in play. The quarterback is very much set up to go and be there for the taking for the Giants, where you say, okay, let's go and get whoever it might be. Jets aren't going to do that. They're just not. So that's where we stand from a Jets standpoint. And the Jet game on Sunday was just comedy. I mean, only the Jets, by the way, on Sunday. And I know Sal is trying to lecture you about, hey, draft pick, we don't care. Guys are putting on film, the resume. I know the coach speak. And I don't expect the players to lose. but only the Jets, for those of you who might have laid the three on Christmas Eve, would have a 20-point lead. It looks like Simeon is rocking and rolling. Breece Hall is rocking and rolling. And they would allow Jacoby Brissett and the Washington Commanders come back from 20 points down to take the lead, only to see the Jets go and get in the field goal range and walk it off with a Greg Zuerlein field goal. So the Jets win the game where you probably wanted them to lose for the draft pick. And if you bet them, like I know a few Jet buddies of mine did because it was like the emotional hedge, they don't even cover the number. Classic, classic, classic New York Jets. But it's a do-over for everybody. You don't have to like it. You don't have to agree with it. I understand where it's coming from. Now, I don't have the utmost confidence in this head coach. And this head coaching game continues to leave a lot to be desired. Even so, that Sunday against Washington leaves a lot to be desired. In-game management, the sloppiness from the team, the lack of discipline. Like, when you look at Robert Saleh and what he adds as an NFL head coach, I mean, I'd tell you positivity. That's literally the only... And his defense. His defense is... It's good. It's not great. It's good. But next year, the excuses are going to be out the window. I'm not going to want to hear from the Jets, oh, well, if we could have had this, or if we could have had that, oh, if Aaron Rodgers would have played, I don't know, 17 instead of 13 games, maybe it would have... No. Woody Johnson, say what you want about him as an owner. And I'm not his biggest fan. How can you? Look at his tenure. Look at the track record for the Jets. But you can't get on Woody Johnson at this stage in the game for being impatient. He's been very patient with this regime. He's giving Douglas and Saleh a fourth year. Douglas, he's given a fifth year. There's no getting around this. They better be a playoff team next year. And if they're not, I said it last year, but you know, I didn't know Rodgers was going to tear his Achilles four plays into the year. They'll be tearing the entire operation up in Jetland. So it's kind of crazy thinking about, we're coming up on the end of the year. So you start like thinking about where you were in January, start thinking about where you were in July and the fall and on we go. This year, from a football standpoint, think about how it started. The Giants went into Minnesota and won a playoff game for the first time in a decade. That's how 2023 started from a New York sports perspective. Giants winning a playoff game, and you can make the argument, since that Eagle game, it was all downhill from there. Maybe not for the Knicks, who we'll get to in a minute. Maybe not for the Knicks, but aside from that Giant playoff win, I mean, the bloodbath in Philly, the tease against Rodgers and he blows out his Achilles. The Yankees and the Mets finishing with underwhelming non-postseason seasons. It's just the year of bitter disappointment. And New York sports has seen its fair share of lousy seasons. This one, to me, collectively, is one of the most disappointing New York sports seasons because of what we thought it was going to be and what we ended up getting for the end result. So, two more weeks of regular season football. And the Jets on Thursday against their buddy Flacco. And you know Flacco. I know the Jet defense is good. I know they got talent. Flacco is going to want to stick it to him. And the Browns looking to win the next two, guarantee the 5 seed. And they need a whole lot of cooperation, especially after the Ravens and what they did Monday night against San Francisco to go and win the division. But you know, I'm sure Stefanski will be planting that in their minds. Joe Flacco on New Year. Think about this for a minute. Joe Flacco, week 17, is playing for the playoffs against the Jets. If you had that on your bingo card at the beginning of the year, you, my friend, are a richer, richer man than me. Now, storylines around the league. The Ravens are the team of the week. That was a throttling of the Niners. Brock Purdy throwing 4 interceptions. Brock Purdy probably costing himself an NFL MVP. Look at the way the odds have shifted and have just plummeted on Lamar Jackson and the way they have moved in the other direction on Purdy. Purdy, the MVP was his to lose on Monday night. Well, I think he lost the award on Monday night. But the way it sets up in the AFC, Baltimore wins the next two, they're the one seed. Miami, after they finally beat a winning team in the Cowboys and had me hyperventilating in my car, driving to Christmas dinner, watching a game on my phone, almost had a heart attack as my wife is driving me from Brooklyn to Staten Island. But thank God for technology. Didn't want to have to deal with Kim being late for Christmas Eve. So I'm watching a game. I'm going nuts. And I wanted to start screaming. Actually, I was screaming, and I wanted to start screaming in celebration after the Dolphins ended up winning on that last second field goal. But how about the game this week? Miami, Baltimore, Sunday at 1 o'clock, and our buddies Ian Eagle and Charles Davis are going to have that game. That is, whoo, must-see TV. Must-see TV. Now, the other storylines to watch. It looks like San Fran is still going to set themselves up to go and win the next two games and get the one seed. If they slip, the team to watch, the Detroit Lions, who won their first division title in forever. Lions is set up now. Beat Dallas, beat Minnesota, then all of a sudden, it's there for you. What a year by Dan Campbell and company. Philly's still in good shape to win the division, but they got serious problems. And you know who else has serious problems? Watching them on Christmas Day? Kansas City Chiefs. I know they have Patrick Mahomes. I know they have Andy Reid. I know their defense is good. There's something off with that team. Their body language stinks. Mahomes' body language stinks. They are an awful offensive team. You want to tell me they can win a playoff game or two? Sure. They are not. They are not winning the Super Bowl. You can save the tape. You can do whatever you want with this, Stephon. The Kansas City Chiefs, with this group, are not winning the Super Bowl. Because now, for the first time in his career, Patrick Mahomes is going to be playing playoff games on the road. And he does not have the team that's capable, in my estimation, of going and winning multiple playoff games on the road. Because the best case, we're talking about the Kansas City Chiefs as the number three seed. So that means you're presenting a scenario to me where Kansas City is going to have to either go to Miami or Buffalo in round two. They're going to actually have to beat probably Miami or Buffalo in round one. And oh, by the way, Baltimore might be waiting for you in the AFC title game. Long story short, it ain't happening for the Chiefs. People are going to try to be stupid about this. Oh, it's Taylor Swift's fault, blah, blah, blah. It's not Taylor Swift's fault. They have no firepower. None. I see the Jessica Simpson memes. Come on, man. Come on, man, with that. Listen, I love a good conspiracy when I can find it, but not to be. So, there we go. There's that. As far as the playoff teams, AFC. Baltimore and Miami are in. Kansas City is still going to win their division. The South, Jacksonville is falling apart. But they have a soft schedule the next two games. They have the Panthers and they have the Titans. Very, very soft schedule. So they win the next two, they're going to win the division. And then you got Indianapolis and Houston kind of lurking. Pittsburgh and Cincinnati are lurking. Here's the way I see it right now. I think it will be Baltimore, Miami, Buffalo winner. The loser will be a wild card. Cleveland will be a wild card. Kansas City will win the division. Jacksonville will win the division. That means one more spot between Pittsburgh, Cincy, Indy, and Houston. And I think with the schedule, I'd probably say Indy. That'd be my pick. But if there's one guy who has now solidified himself as an NFL head coach, it is, and this ties home because we watched him as a player. It's malpractice if Mark Davis doesn't hire Antonio Pierce to be his next head coach. Look at the way that team has balled out since he's been named the coach. They need a quarterback. You want to tell me they need a different offensive coordinator? Fine. Antonio Pierce is the leader of men. He deserves that job. 1,000% deserves that job. How about the job he's done? They're 7-8. They've not quit on the year. So that's the AFC. NFC. Philly and Dallas are in. Detroit is in. San Fran is in. You're going to have the South. Tampa right now, it's their division to lose. They are 3-1 in the division. They host New Orleans this week. I think if they win this New Orleans game, they're in. I think they got to win both. But even if they get to 9-8, I think they're going to be in good shape either way. Maybe there's a door and an avenue for the Falcons. I don't know. But the wild cards, Rams, one more win, they're getting in. Seattle, I think one more win, they're going to get in. And Minnesota might need some help. Green Bay might need some help. But that's kind of where we stand as far as the playoff picture is concerned. So fired up, lot cooking. Going to be a monstrous weekend of NFL football. And then, of course, tied in with the college football playoff on Monday, which we'll break down Thursday. We'll do that Thursday with Arthur Caesar. We'll have some fun on what those lines might be. Now, before we hit trivia, and this is an abbreviated Tuesday pod, we gave such a mouthy, lengthy Yamamoto football Friday pod. I figured we'd give you a mini one here on Tuesday. Weird slate for the Knicks. And I have to admit with the Christmas Day games, the Knick game I was into, the other games were so secondary to me. And it's the problem the NBA is going to run into. You put it up against NFL football on Christmas Day. I'm sorry, I'm watching NFL football. You know, this is one of the few instances where I am not set up with the multiple two TV setup. I was for the 1 o'clock and the Kansas City game was on the second screen and I was watching the Knick game. But what I'm getting at here is like 4 o'clock, I'm at Lou and Anna's for Christmas Day. I'm watching the Giant game. Sorry, I know it's Celtics-Lakers. It's a December NBA game. I'm not watching over the NFL. And I guarantee you the NFL whooped the NBA's ass ratings-wise. So the NBA is probably saying, please, next year it's on a Wednesday. Do not play on Christmas Day. Please, please, please give us Christmas Day back. We'll see. The NFL likes their spotlight. And they like their attention. They like their ratings. Watch them move heaven and earth to get a game on Wednesday next year on Christmas Day. Watch them do that. Now, I thought that was a really important Christmas Day win for the Knicks. They got steamrolled by the Bucks 2 days earlier. They have all of the storylines surrounding them involving Mitchell Robinson, what the defense looks like without Mitchell Robinson, and how could they respond, quote unquote, without Mitchell Robinson. And they did exactly that. And, you know, I'm one of these people that's well aware of the fact that the Knicks need that next guy in order to take the next step. This is not breaking ground. This is not rocket science. This is not some like overarching great theory that I have bringing to the table here. We all know that's the case. But my goodness, how good is Jalen Brunson? You want to tell me Jalen Brunson is not, you know, one of the 7 to 10 best players in the NBA? He's definitely a top 20 player in the sport. He's definitely an all-star. And he can play for my team any day of the week. Guy was best player on the floor on Christmas Day. Now, he's obviously not better than Giannis. We all understand that. But the fact that you could say on a given day that Jalen Brunson could go and be the best player on a game that features the likes of Giannis, I think it should tell you something about what kind of dude Brunson is. He's not afraid of the spotlight. He's not afraid to go and take on your best. The Knicks are so lucky to have him. So, so lucky to have him. 38 points, had every answer down the stretch, and the Knicks looked like they were going to win this game going away in the fourth quarter. Got dicey, got to 6. I'm like, oh, geez. Somebody bet the 3.5. I'm like, I do not under any circumstance want to see this game go to overtime because we know how that's going to end. But, you know, that was not the case. Got big minutes out of quickly. Big minutes out of quickly. Barrett came along, 8-for-14 from the field. And the Knicks are going to be heavily relying on Hartenstein. Guy's playing 33 minutes now. He's getting a lot more burn with the absence of Robinson. They're going to need another body. Taj Gibson ain't it. We all know Taj Gibson ain't it. But that's going to be a challenge now over the next few weeks. Who is the caddy that the Knicks are going to go and bring in for Hartenstein? But that was a good win for them. You can make the argument that was their best win of the season outside of Miami. Spotlight game. I know it was a good spot. Milwaukee hanging out in New York City for 3 days after a win. Those are automatic beaks. They're a high noon, 12 o'clock game. Oh, my goodness. I couldn't wait to take the Knicks. It was a nice little Christmas present on the My Tree, if you know what I mean. But nice win for them. And listen, in the spirit of giving, very thankful to have Jalen Brunson under my New York Knickerbocker Christmas tree. All right, we'll set the stage for what we got coming up later on this week. But when we come back, a little trivia to kind of set your mood and get your brain working where it needs to be going into the last week of 2023.
This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on cars.com.
All right, so we'll have a Football Friday pod Thursday. There's going to be a lot to chew on. Actually, it won't be on Thursday. We have the Jets. See, it just goes to show you, when it's the week of Christmas, your head and your schedule and your routine is just so out of whack. I mean, everything for me is out of whack right now. I had closets done this morning. I got this great dog, Ren, here, who's just sitting here enjoying the podcast as we speak. Ren, how are we doing? We doing a good job? I think we're doing a good job. Thank you. I appreciate that, Ren. Ren, obviously a very big fan of the show, as he's looking up saying, what in the world is this guy saying? But we have a lot of insanity going on at the moment. We definitely have a lot of insanity going on at the moment. But we'll have the pod after the Jet game on Thursday, but we'll tape. I know many of you are going to want Benigo before or after the game. Well, they're 5-10. Why do you really care? Or 6-10, whatever the hell their record is. Benigo will do the picks before because he'll go to bed right after the game. But then we'll have Dice and we'll have Cats for the final fantasy preview. I hope many of you made it to your fantasy championships. And it'll be a big week for ARP because we'll have all the NFL games and we'll have the college football playoff and some of the bowls as well. Okay, Larry. I might have been tested with some trivia earlier in the day on the Immaculate Grid and maybe over the last few days at the holidays. What do you got for me, buddy? Let's hear it.
JJ, Larry, two running back questions today. There are four running backs right now with 1,000 yards rushing. Who are they? Second question is, there are five running backs with double-digit rushing touchdowns. Who are them? Happy holidays, everybody, and I'm out.
All right, Larry. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas to you. I think a lot of these names are going to intertwine, to be perfectly honest with you. But let's have a little fun with this. 4,000-yard backs at the moment. Number one, Christian McCaffrey. One down, three to go. Number two, my buddy in Miami, Raheem Mostert. Two down, two to go. The other 2,000-yard backs. This is where it gets a little tricky. Because I felt really good about those first two answers, and now I got to, you know, really get my mind right, start going through each team, start going through yardage and whatnot. Two more 1,000-yard backs. Even though he got hurt, I still think he might be there. Pacheco with KC? Nah. Okay. Derrick Henry, Tennessee. Yeah, I didn't feel great about that. Okay, I'm like going through each team. It's like trying to figure out the yardage. Saquon missed too much time. Oh, man. See, this is where it gets tricky. Very, very tricky. ETN with Jacksonville. Steph, I'm very disappointed I haven't gotten these last two. I knew they would be hard. DeAndre Swift, Philly. Wow, this is pathetic. Felt really good about those first two answers, and we have just completely hit the skids. Detroit, no. Minnesota, no. Green Bay, no. Chicago, no. Atlanta, no. Kamara missed too much time. The guy in Tampa, I'm forgetting his name, White? Should I know the other two, Stephon?
As somebody who is an avid football fan like yourself, Jay, I think you, I will say this, one of these guys burst on it. These guys are actually newer guys. One of them actually burst onto the scene and like went crazy this year.
Oh, I think I know one of them. James Cook with the Bills. There we go. And he's really been a monster the last few weeks. I didn't think he got to 1,000 yards, but it just goes to show you how well he has played as of late. The other guy, newer guy, kind of come on. Newer guy. Is it Kyren Williams with the Rams? There we go. I didn't think he got to 1,000 yards. Wow. Impressive. Very, very impressive. All right. So, there's that. 4,000 yard backs. Now we got to do double-digit touchdown, guys. I'm going to double up for you here to make it easy, Stephon. McCaffrey and Mostert are 2 of 5. There we go. 2 down, 3 to go. I think Henry has double-digit touchdowns. He does. 3 down, 2 to go. You know who else has double? No, he would not. I was going to say Jalen Hurts, but he does not count. He's a quarterback. He does not count. I don't think Larry's including him. Got to be a running back. We need 2 more. Saquon Barkley. Saquon does not have 10 touchdowns. Ford with Cleveland. Nope. Thought maybe one of my fantasy guys. AJ Dillon. All right, I'll throw him in there because he's been great lately. James Cook. So the next two, Stephon, I also think you expect me to get them, but are they on the younger side? What's the deal here?
Yeah, younger side, and I will say both of these guys are on teams that do it by committee.
Oh, so that makes it that much more complicated. Okay. They do it by committee. Oh, man. David Montgomery. There we go. When I was thinking committee, I was thinking one of those guys. All right, so I got 3. No, I got 4. I need one more. I gave you Montgomery. I gave you Henry, and then Mostert and McCaffrey. They do it by committee. Gus Edwards. There we go. Took some work, Stephon. It took some work, but we got there. Very proud of the trivia performance. Very proud. All right, Jeff Money, a pick. Let's hear it. Let's go.
What up, JJ? Jeff Money with a handicapper pick to be for Thursday's NFL play on the 28th and for our semifinals games on New Year's Day for the college football playoffs. So it started out NFL Thursday night game. I'm going to go with the Cleveland Browns -7 over the New York Jets. And on Monday, New Year's Day, the 2 college football semifinal game, I'm going to take Michigan -1.5 over Alabama. I'm going to go with Washington +4.5 over Texas. Again, 3 plays. On Thursday, the NFL play, I'm going to go with the Browns -7. And in college football, I'm going to take Michigan -1.5 and Washington +4.5. And everyone can follow all my daily plays on Twitter at Jeff Money. Okay, JJ, I'm out of here. Let's go.
Let's go, Jeff Money. You know, I have a hard time with this game because part of me is thinking 7 with Cleveland and Flacco is way too many points to be laying, and that the Jet defense will have a little insider knowledge and will be able to keep this game competitive. At the same time, how do Jets move the ball? especially if all of a sudden Zach Wilson is back at quarterback. But I kind of get the sense he's not going to play this game. If he didn't play against Washington and it's a short week and you're already out of it, I mean, I would feel better about Simeon playing this game. I really would. Just because I think the veteran calming presence against, you know, a defense that's going to do a lot of crazy things would be helpful. I'm not going to give my picks on the college football playoff. This line being what it is, truth serum, I think I'm holding my nose and taking the Jets. Oh, that's going to end so poorly. I just know it's going to end so poorly. But hey, that's the way the cookie crumbles. We have a very quick turnaround. We're going to be back Thursday night, Friday morning, right after the Jet game. Last Jet-Giant primetime game of the year. Thank God for that. I'm actually intrigued to watch Flacco. In all seriousness, can you believe I'm saying this? I can't wait to watch Joe Flacco. I think he's one of the best stories going in the NFL at the moment. Guy's playing lights out. Lights out. Stephon, thanks for doing this. I hope you had a great Christmas holiday. I will talk to you Thursday night. We'll have all our Football Friday regulars on Thursday night. Should be a loaded show. On that note, Merry Christmas, one and all. I hope you guys enjoy the rest of your week. We'll chat in like 48 hours. I know, quick turnaround. JJ out. Be good, everybody. Must be 21 plus and present in select states. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with Kansas Star Casino, LLC. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG. Colorado, Iowa, Kentucky, Michigan, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Tennessee, and Virginia. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona. 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut, 1-800-9 within Indiana, 1-800-522-4700, or visit ksgamblinghelp.com in Kansas, 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana, visit mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland, visit 1-800-gambler.net in West Virginia, or call 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming. Hope is here. Visit gamblinghelplinema.org or call 1-800-327-5050 for 24/7 support in Massachusetts, or call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY in New York.